Go to John chapter 3, very familiar passage, and verse number 16, I guess I should get there. That would help. John chapter 3 and verse number 16, very familiar verse. We could all quote it by memory if we wanted to, but we're going to read it for the sake of just looking at God's word, all right? John 3:16, it says this. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, if you would, go over to Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 8. Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 8. Another familiar verse for you. Use it if you go soul winning. It's a very good verse to have when you're going soul winning. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 8. It says, "But God commendeth," or proved, "his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The title of the message tonight is "What God Deserves." What God deserves. And we see right here in these two passages, just right off the bat, we see that God died for us. He sent his own son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. I would say that earns him some stuff. I would say that means he deserves something from us. And so tonight, I don't plan on being real, real long. I'm not normally a real long preacher, but I want to give you some things that I believe that God deserves from us. And I want to be an encouragement to you tonight, be a help to you tonight. Nothing new. I think all of us probably know all these things, but hopefully just be a reminder. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of what we're supposed to be doing, reminded of what God deserves. So what God deserves. Let's pray, and then we'll jump in the message this evening. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here at Liberty Baptist Church. It's such a privilege. It's such an honor. And God, I just appreciate Pastor Pignetta just allowing me to get up and to preach and be able to fill his pulpit. And that's an honor. That's a big deal for a pastor to let another man get up in front of his people and preach to his people. And so God, tonight, please, 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 empty me of Brady Whitehouse. Fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. Please, Heavenly Father, I want you to be honored. I want you to be glorified. I want you to be lifted up tonight. I want people to see you in the message and not see me. I want, when we're done tonight, I want people to say, "Wow, God met with us." God, I don't want anybody to say, "Wow, Brady did a great job." I want them to say, "God was here with us." So please, God, speak through me. Use me. Help me to honor and glorify you. Don't let me belittle your word in any way. Don't let me an insult. God, I pray that your word would speak for itself and that you just be honored in everything that is said tonight. Please speak to our hearts. Help us to have an open heart to receive your word. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So now I want to start off, though, before I get into what God deserves, I want to build up to this a little bit. Why does God deserve some of these things we're going to get to? So I'm going to give you some few thoughts on why I think God deserves some things from us. Number one, God created us knowing we would be sinners. God created us knowing we would be sinners. In Genesis 1:27, it talks about how he created man and woman. He created us in his image, created us in his likeness. He made us to be a three-part being, to be body, soul, and spirit. This is he is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He designed us in his image, already knowing that we would be sinners. Already knowing that eventually, years down the road, thousands of years down the road, Jesus would have to come and die on the cross for our sins. The Bible tells us that before the foundations of the earth, the Lamb of God was prepared. Jesus was already ready before God created the world. Jesus was already ready. He was already prepared to come and die on the cross for us. And God created us even though he knew we would be sinners. Even though he knew that we would take his name in vain. Even though he knew we would disrespect him and we would dishonor him and we would hurt him. He still created us even though he knew we would be sinners. Number two, he died for us even though we were sinners. We've seen that in John 3:16. We saw it in Romans 5:8. Even though we were sinners, even though we did harm to God, even though we did insult God, even though we did go against God, he still loved us enough to die for us even though we were sinners. He didn't die for us because we were trying not to be sinners. He didn't die for us because we were being better than what we were. He didn't die for us because we weren't sinners. He died for us because we were sinners. So he created us even though he knew we would be sinners. He died for us even though we were sinners. He saved us so we wouldn't have to be controlled by sin. And we see that in 1 John 5:13. If you would, just go to 1 John 5:13. I want to go ahead and look at that verse with you. But he died for us so we wouldn't have to be controlled by sin. Then we serve a great God. Everything he does for us. It's amazing. 1 John 5 In verse 13, it says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." He did these things. He wrote this stuff down so that we could see that he died for us, that he loved us so much. And by knowing that, he was letting us know, you don't have to be controlled by sin. You can allow me to be in control. You can allow me to guide you. You can allow me to lead you. So he saved us so we wouldn't have to be controlled by sin. And the fourth thing, what has God done for us? He prepared us a place to live with him forever away from sin. We see that in John chapter number 14, verses 2 through 3, where he says, I go to my Father's house, and I, where's many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you, and if it was not so, I would have told you so. He went to prepare a place for us. So when we cross into eternity, we can spend eternity with him free from sin.
Amen.
This is just a few of the things God did for us. Okay, we could go on and on and on. We could list things after things. We could sit here and give testimony after testimony of things that God has done for us, how he's provided for us, how he's miraculously met a need, how he's seen someone saved in our family, how he's saved us in our sins. And we could just give testimony after testimony. But just a few things that God has done for us. He created us knowing we would be sinners. He died for us even though we were sinners. He saved us so we wouldn't have to be controlled by sin. And he prepared a place where we can spend eternity with him free from sin. Because God has done so much for us, I believe he deserves everything from us. Even if he had done nothing for us, we would still deserve, or he would still deserve everything, because he is holy, just, and he's righteous. God deserves everything from us. Whether he'd ever done anything for us or not, he deserves everything from us. But yet he's done so much for us. We serve an awesome and a great God, and we should give him all he deserves. So what does he deserve? What does he deserve tonight? Well, number one, if you're writing points down, God deserves our praise. God deserves our praise. If you would, go over to Psalm. We're going to look at a couple of Psalms here. Go to Psalm chapter number 22. Psalm chapter number 22. God deserves our praise. And you can, if you read through the book of Psalms, you're going to find lots and lots of places where it tells us to give God praise and to give him honor and everything. But I just want to give you a couple of passages where it talks about it. Psalm chapter number 22 and verse number 23 says, "Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel." It says, "All ye that fear the Lord, praise him." God expects and deserves our praise. He wants that of us. He expects it of us. He deserves it of us. Now go over to Psalm 100. Go over to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, starting in verse number 1. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." In verse number 4, he says, "Enter into his courts with praise." God deserves our praise. God is worthy of our praise. Praise is talking about what God has done for us. Praise is simply bragging on God. Praise is something God is worthy of. It is worthy. He is worthy to be praised. Let me give you some things to praise him about. Maybe you say, "Well, I don't know what to praise God about." Let me give you just some simple thoughts. You can praise him for your life. You have life. You're living. You're here now. You may say, "Well, I'm going through a rough time. I don't know if it's all that great right now or not." Hey, we all go through hard times. But we can still praise God for life.
Amen.
Praise him for what he's given us. Praise him for family. Praise him for the family you've got. Praise him for the friends that you've got. Praise him for the grace that he's given us. Grace is simply him giving us what we don't deserve. He gave us salvation, and we are definitely not worthy of salvation, but he gave it to us. Praise him for his mercy. That is him not giving us what we do deserve. Every one of us deserve an eternity in hell, burning for all eternity. But his mercy said, "No, I won't give that to you if you accept me as your personal Savior." Praise him for the freedoms we enjoy and liberty. The fact that he gives us the liberty of freedom of choice. God doesn't twist our arms. God doesn't force us to do things. God doesn't make us do things. He didn't create us as robots. No, he gave us freedom. He gave us a free will. because he wants us to choose to love him, praise him for freedom. And there's many, many more things we could go on about, but we're supposed to praise him. He is honored and he's worthy of praise. This is why it's so important to sing in the song services, because it's a time as a group, as a congregation, for us to praise God.
Amen.
I don't know if you ever pay attention to the words in the songs, but they do one of two things usually. One, they usually worship him, and two, they usually praise him. They usually do one of the two things. And so it's so important that we sing out, because it's one of our many opportunities to praise God. Talking about how awesome God has, how wonderful God is, how amazing God is. And God is worthy of praise. He deserves our praise. Praise is something that's not meant to be kept in just our prayer closet, even though when you pray, you should have a time of praise to God, a time to remind God that you do appreciate what he's done for you. But praise is something we're supposed to be telling everybody about. We're supposed to be letting everybody know about what God has done for us. As I told you before, we've got our 16-month, soon-to-be 16-month-old son, and it doesn't do him a whole lot of good if I just talk to my wife about him and praise my wife about him. Although we do that. We talk to each other about how we're so proud of him for doing certain things, and sometimes you'll tell him no, and he doesn't do what you told him to do, and oh man, that's so awesome. Then other times you tell him no, and he does it anyway. But when he does mine the first time, we praise him for that. We talk about how we appreciate that. But we brag on him. But it doesn't mean a whole lot when it's just the two of us. We already know what he's been doing good. But what am I doing right now? I'm praising my son in front of you. I'm bragging on my son. I'm talking about how I appreciate him, how I'm so thankful for when he does obey. Man, I don't know what's wrong with the kid, but he likes to clean. The other day we was out in the garage, and I was doing stuff out in the garage, and I'd been using the circular saw and had dust all over the place, and so I was going to go to sweep, and I made the mistake of giving him the broom, and I didn't get it back because he just loved that broom. And so then I tried to help him to hold it with both hands. He didn't want to hold it with both hands. He's trying to do it with one hand, and it's pretty comical watching him do it. Man, he likes to clean. My wife said if you give him like a paper towel or something like that, he is going to wipe everything down that he can see because he wants to clean. He wants to be a helper, and even though he's not very good at it, he sure likes to help mom with the laundry. Even though he makes her work three times harder, he likes to do it. What am I doing? I am praising my son in front of you. That is what we're supposed to do to God. We should praise God in front of other people. We should brag on God in front of other people because he deserves it. He is worthy of it. He expects it of us. And the Bible commands us to praise ye the Lord. Come into his courts with praise. Praise God. He wants you to tell him how awesome you think he is, how you appreciate what he's done. But he really wants you to tell other people. Why? Because this points other people to an awesome and a wonderful Savior. What does God deserve? Number one, he deserves our praise. He deserves our praise. Let me give you the second thing that he deserves from us. He deserves our heart. God deserves our heart. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And God wants all of our heart. He doesn't want a part of it. He doesn't want half of it. He doesn't want, 7/8 of it. He doesn't want all of it. And I'm just going to say this one little piece for myself. No, he wants all of your heart. And he deserves all of your heart. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse number 5. Actually, read verse number 4 with me. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy might." He didn't say with some of your heart. He didn't say with part of your heart. He didn't say with most of your heart. He said all of your heart. Nothing left out. Every bit of it. He is the king of your heart. Give him your heart. Go to Matthew chapter number 22 and verse number 37. Matthew chapter number 22 and verse number 37. He deserves all of it. Don't hold any of it back. Matthew chapter number 22 and verse number 37 says, "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." So in Deuteronomy, it's Moses is giving the commandment to the children of Israel that God had given to him. Now in Matthew, Jesus himself is telling us, give God, give the Lord all of your heart. Don't leave any of it out. Don't hang on to a piece of it. No, give God all your heart. There is no room for anything else in your heart. If you put something else in your heart, then God doesn't have all of it. And it's going to gradually work itself into having more and more of your heart. Give God all of your heart. He doesn't want just part of your heart. He wants all of it. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In Matthew 6:21 and Luke 12:34 tells us that where you put your heart is where your, or where you put your treasure, excuse me, is where your heart's going to be. What you invest your time in, what you invest your money in, what you think about, what you're concerned with, that's your treasure. And whatever you make your treasure, that is where your heart will be. So if your heart and your treasure is a nice car, that's where your heart's going to be. That's what you invest your time in, you invest your money in, that's where your heart's going to be. If your treasure is your house and you invest money and time and effort and you give everything to it, that's where your treasure is and that's where your heart is going to be. I'm not saying that it's wrong to invest in your house. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a nice car that's going to get you from point A to point B. It's nice to have a car that the AC works in, unlike ours right now. It's nice to have those things. But that doesn't need to be your sole focus.
That's right.
Your sole focus needs to be Jesus Christ.
Right.
It needs to be our God. And what's amazing is if you'll give Him all of your heart, then so many other things line up. The Pharisees tried to trap Jesus and they said, what's the most important commandment? He said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. He said, the second one is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Why? Because if you love God with all of your heart and there's nothing else in the way, He's got 100% of it, guarantee you're going to love your neighbor. I guarantee you're going to take care of your family. I guarantee you're going to be a soul winner. I guarantee you you're going to serve God and you're going to try to be in some area of service in the church and you're going to try to maybe clean the church or you're going to try to be an usher. You're going to try to sing a special. You're going to try to be in the choir. You're going to try to fill a need that needs to be met. And if you love God with all your heart, all your soul, all these other things will line up. So many times we even have good intentions and we get so encumbered about just serving, and we've forgotten to make God the primary. If God's the primary, then all these other things will be in their place. They'll be in balance. Proverbs tells us that an unjust weight or being unbalanced, being not quite balanced the way you should be, is an abomination. God wants us to be balanced in all of our life. And if God has got all of our heart, He'll help us to be balanced in every area of life. He'll help you to spend the right amount of time with your family and still have time to serve God through the church. He'll help you to have the balance of working a full-time job, but still having time for other things also. He'll help you to understand and to learn to grow what to spend money on and when to spend money on and what's important to spend the money on. And He will help you balance out your life if you give God all of your heart. Because then He has the freedom to direct us whithersoever He will. In whatever way, whatever direction, where we need to be, He'll lead us and direct us. The Bible tells us that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Good man is someone who has given God all of his heart. God deserves our heart. So number one, God deserves our praise. Number two, God deserves our heart and every bit of it, all of it. Don't hold anything back. Number three, God deserves our worship. God deserves our worship. If you would go over to John chapter number 4 and verse number 23. So what's the difference between worship and praise, you might ask? Well, praise, like I said, is bragging on God. It's telling other people about how the awesome things that God has done for you, what He's done for you, how He's come through for you, the needs that He's met, the miracles He's performed. Worshiping God is telling God who He is and recognizing who God is. When we think of worship, we think of bowing down in reverence, in honor. This is worship. Worship is recognizing that God is worthy. Recognizing that God is more than I am. Recognizing that I'm not worthy to come before God except the fact that Jesus Christ died for my sins. And because He saved me, He said I can come boldly before the throne of God. Not because Brady Whitehouse is worthy, but because of what Jesus has done for me. I can come to God. God deserves our worship. You're there in John chapter number 4 and verse number 23. He says this, but the honor cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It says that the Father seeketh such to worship Him. He wants us to worship Him. He wants us to reverence Him. Once again, it's important to sing out in the song service because it gives us an opportunity as a congregation to worship God together. It's why we call it a worship service, because it's an opportunity to worship God for who He is. Because God is an amazing God. God's a wonderful God. God is an indescribable God. We worship Him. But we also worship Him alone in our prayer time. When we go to God and we praise Him, we thank Him for what He's done, and we confess our sins before Him and get those right before Him and admit this wasn't right and it was incorrect for me to do that. And then we worship God. God, you're the forgiver of my soul. You're the one that died for my sins. You're the one that has the power to forgive sin. You're the one that has power to help me to get victory. That's not praising Him for what He's doing. That's worshiping because that is who He is. And God deserves our worship. We are supposed to worship God as a group and as individuals. God wants and expects us to worship Him, and God deserves our worship, and we should want to give it to Him. God deserves it, and we should want to give it to Him. Worship is something that you need to freely want to give. You can do some tongue service. You can do some faking it till you make it type stuff. But God can see your heart. And if it's not real, it's not real worship. It says that the Father seeketh for such worshipers. Well, what kind of worshipers? We'll back up. It says, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh for such to worship Him. What kind? True worshipers. Not faking it, not just going through some routine, not just saying some words. No, He wants you to truly worship Him. And He deserves it. He's worthy of it. He expects us to worship Him. So number one, God deserves our praise. Number two, God deserves our heart. Number three, God deserves our worship. Number four, God deserves our service. Go to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 1. Romans 12 and verse number 1, it says, but I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God wants us to serve Him. God expects us to serve Him. And God deserves us to serve Him. We should make sure we are serving God. And I'm sure there's plenty of areas that you could serve Him. You may say, well, I don't know where to serve Him at. You go ask your pastor, and I'm sure he can give you a list of different areas that you could serve Him. And he'd be more than happy to put you into one of those places of service and to get you working on it. We can also serve Him in being a soul winner, being a witness, and being a testimony, and telling others, and inviting your coworkers, and encouraging them to come. I invited one of my coworkers tonight, or today, I didn't give her enough notice, so she already had plans, but invited one of my coworkers tonight. She made a mention a few months ago that she wanted to hear me preach sometime. What if I'm going to be preaching in Albuquerque? And so what did I do? I invited her to come because I want to invite my coworkers. And I've invited them for big days and friend day and all kinds of stuff and try to get them to come. And you pray for them because I haven't had any of them come yet so far that I know of, unless they snuck in and snuck out. But as far as I know, none have ever come yet. But still praying for them, still hoping they'll come and still wanting to come. Just wanting to encourage them to come. What am I trying to do? Trying to serve God, and God deserves our service. He expects our service. We're supposed to be serving God. Most things are just a reasonable service to Him. The incredible thing is most of these things are just our reasonable service to Him. A lot of times people want to get prideful when they serve God in a lot of areas. They say, well, look at this. I serve God on a bus route, and maybe I sing a choir, I sing a special, and I do this, and I do that, and I do that. They got this list of things they serve God in. And then it's like, wow, man, I'm really somebody. I'm really serving God. He's lucky when He got me. Not really. That's just your reasonable service. It's expected. It's what God expects of you, to serve Him. He commanded us to go ye into all the world and to preach the gospel. When we go door knocking, you're not doing something above and beyond. You're just doing your reasonable service. When you invite your coworker, you're just doing your reasonable service. God expects us to serve Him. He wants us to serve Him, and He deserves us to serve Him. But the great thing is there is no small area of service for Christ. As we all know, the old hymn, probably little is much when God is in it. It doesn't matter if you're cleaning the toilets here at the church. That is a big thing to God. God appreciates that. God is thankful for that. Now, it's just a reasonable service to get involved and do something, but God expects that of us. He wants that of us. I had a college professor that he said that one thing he did, he wanted to do more than just his reasonable service. And so whenever he would go to the bathrooms or something like that, and there'd be like maybe a paper towel on the floor, or maybe the sinks would be wet from somebody gotten it wet or something like that, he'd take a paper towel and wipe it down, or he'd pick up that paper towel and throw it in the trash. It wasn't his job. They had people that were supposed to do that. They had people on a rotation to clean. But he wanted to go above and beyond, and he wanted to do extra. Why? Because he just had a servant's heart. He wanted to serve the Lord. Let me give you the last point tonight, and that is God deserves a relationship with us. God deserves a relationship with us. And I'm going to wrap it up here, but go to Genesis chapter number 5. Genesis chapter number 5. I want to show you how important a relationship is with God. When God created Adam and Eve, his desire for them was that he could fellowship with them, spend time with them. And he would come down every evening and walk with them and fellowship with them, have a relationship with them. And that's what God wants from us. It's what God deserves from us. Genesis chapter number 5, reading verse number 22. And we're going to jump forward though, but going to where it says, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him, because he had such a relationship with God. He spent time with God, and God deserves that relationship. Just as my wife deserves my relationship because we're married, we've committed ourselves to one another, she deserves a relationship from me. How much more does my Creator, and the one who died so I don't have to spend eternity in hell so I can spend eternity with him, how much more does he deserve a relationship with me? Are we faithfully reading our Bibles and getting into our Bibles every single day? Are we faithfully spending time with him in prayer? Are we having a relationship with our God? God deserves a relationship. God desires a relationship with us. He wants that relationship with us. He created us to have a relationship with him. So what does God deserve? Number one, he deserves our praise. Number two, he deserves our heart. He deserves our worship, deserves our service, and deserves a relationship with us. God has done so much for us, and he deserves so much from us. Are we giving it to him? Let's give God what he deserves from us. And the awesome thing about God is this: he always blesses us in return. Now, that shouldn't be our motivation. Our motivation should just be the fact that he deserves it. But you cannot outgive God. If you give God your time, God will give you time and benefit of it. If you give God your money, God will bless you financially. Maybe not right off the bat. Maybe not when you think it's supposed to come. But God will provide for you. God will meet your needs. And God deserves these things from us. But the awesome thing about God is, although he deserves it, he still takes it as if though it's above and beyond what we deserve to give to him. And he blesses us in return for it. God deserves so much. Are we giving him what he deserves?